GNC 561. It's Monday, March 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a part of the Tech Podcast Network. Haven't I got a great show for you in a very chilly Texas? Lots to talk about. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio. And I tell you, I'm overlooking... I've just got this beautiful view outside of my hotel room, and I see the city lights below. It's really nice. And for those of you that are on Ustream, maybe at the end of the show I can just stick the camera out. They've got me in a quarter suite of the hotel that I'm at, and truly nice view. And but it's chilly out there. I don't know. I was, you know, when I was in Austin a little over a week ago, you know, it was 75, 80 degrees during the day. It was beautiful weather. You know, I threw my jacket in my suitcase in the hotel when I was leaving Silicon Valley. And as soon as I got into the airport in Dallas, I was like, oh, it's cold. So pulled that jacket out of my suitcase as it came through baggage claim. And anyway, here I am. I'm in Texas once again. Next three shows, this show and two more, will be here from Texas. And then I will be headed back to Honolulu to record the show back in the studio. Be back there for a while. So looking forward to getting home and talking with my lovely wife today. And she's had her hands full, the kids being on spring break and kids staying over. And so we're talking about everything that was going on there. But she says, honey, your honey-do list is getting longer and longer and longer. So I'm sure I'll have a stack of stuff to do when I get back to Honolulu. But I want to take just a few minutes here. And, of course, I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. If you're a new subscriber to the Geek News Central podcast, I want to encourage you, of course, to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there from time to time. Of course, you can check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. 561 shows, that's the number tonight. So we've been at this a while. So I hope that you'll stay subscribed. Spread the word about the show to your friends, family members, and people that you know. A few of you are coming in on Ustream tonight, and of course, if you're here again, I'm just here in my hotel room in Texas, and but not in the normal great studio I have back in Honolulu. Of course, if you're part of the Ohana, some of the longtime listeners of the show, hey, I want to thank the Ohana back, and of course, thanks for staying subscribed, and you know, you guys are really I guess for a better word, is what really makes me coming back, keep doing the show week after week, month after month. And, of course, new listeners, hey, just hang around for just a few shows and be part of the Ohana as well. In Hawaiian, Ohana means family, and I want to, of course, welcome you into the family. We've got listeners now from around 165 countries worldwide and tuning into the show twice a week. Many of those are signed up for our newsletter. Make sure you get signed up for that so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The show notes contain everything I'm going to talk about during the show tonight, including links that have been submitted by listeners and stuff that I have found. And, of course, there's always some bonus material in there as well. Right now we've got some cool, basically a swag giveaway going on. And if you send a self-stamped address envelope to the address that is in the newsletter, what I'll do is I'll stuff it full of stickers and swags and some stuff that I've collected over the last 5 years and mail it back out to you. It's a little bit of a kind of a cool little giveaway that I think you guys will find find nice to have in your mailbox. So again, you got to be subscribed to the newsletter to get the address for that. And once you get the envelope, we'll get it stuffed. Of course, I know my wife has actually been telling me. She says, "You've been getting a whole bunch of mail with addressed a certain way," and I'm like, "Just stick it aside. I'll take care of it when I get home." Hey, the meetup that I had in San Jose on Friday night went great. I want to, of course, want to thank Tom and his girlfriend from coming out. I want to thank Paul as well, and also Dave. Dave joined us. He actually drove in from Lodi, which was about an hour away, and Paul was, I think, in Modesto. So everyone kind of drove in from a distance. So I want to thank those that came out. We had a great time at Macaroni Grill. First time I've eaten there. Decent food. Can't complain. It was pretty good. So I think that we got done with dinner around 9 or 9:30. And then as we walked out, Paul and I actually talked until midnight. So I didn't get back to the hotel until about 1. Of course, I had to be up at 6 to drive up to San Francisco to get my flight out to Dallas. Flew American. First time I've flown American in a long time. And I'm going to be honest with you, two thumbs down for American Airlines. You know, United, they definitely have more room between the seats. Even in their not in their section, it's not Economy Plus. I had about that much room in front of my knees, and I'm not a very tall guy. And luckily, it was only about a three-hour flight. And boy, I was thankful that I don't have to fly American very often, because it just wasn't a pleasant experience. And as many things I've said negatively about United from time to time, it makes me kind of have to want to zip my trap a little bit and not talk about it. But anyway, very cool stuff. Hey, my team is getting ready to head out to NAB. We're excited about being out there. I'll have team members there for that show, so we look forward to seeing vendors out at NAB. If you are looking for if you're in Vegas or within striking distance of NAB and you'd like to have a hall pass, I can hook you up with a free hall pass. Just send me an email with some contact info and put NAB in the subject line to CEO@rawvoice.com. That's a different address, CEO@rawvoice.com, to get a free ticket into the NAB show floor, and we'll hook you up there. Of course, if all of you have comments on tonight's show, you can call our 24 hours a day, 7 day a week voicemail hotline that will get you basically connected directly into the show, and actually your comments will be played on the following show. You can do that at area code 619-342-7365. For those of you overseas, you have to put a +1 in front of that. That'll get you into the United States calling zone. And, of course, if you have comments, you can always email them to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, let's take care of a little business here, and we'll get right into the content. I'm rocking and rolling through stuff tonight. I don't have a lot of updates for you, so we'll get right into the content in a mere few moments. But I renewed one of my servers tonight over on GoDaddy. Matter of fact, I did it probably less than 15 minutes ago, and it was pretty cool. Putting in my own promo code, Geek5, that saves, that's a 15% discount on orders $20 or more. I saved $148 on my dedicated server renewal. I think the grand total for that server was like $918 or something like that for a year. And then whatever the discount on that was like $148. Probably was a little higher than that if it was total of $148. But I was pretty excited to get my own discount. And if you get over to GoDaddy and you're looking for domain names, you're looking for virtual dedicated servers, you're looking for shared hosting accounts, if you're looking for whatever type of server or service that you may be looking for, really, to be online, GoDaddy is the place to be. And when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central. My promo codes are all over my website. You can go to the second column of the website and see a link there that says GoDaddy promo codes. Click on that. That'll get you a list of all of them for every occasion. Com sale, $7.49 domains on .com renewals and new purchases. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek 5, 15% on orders $20 or more. And I got an email from one of our listeners who picked up a 1-year shared hosting account, basically a one-year web hosting account. He was able to use the Todd20 code to get 20% off his purchase on a one-year purchase, and he saved a pile of money. So I want to congratulate him for doing that. Got an email back. And if you're buying an SSL certificate, whatever it may be, I've got the code for you. Definitely check it out at Geek News Central, or, hey, just use one of the codes I've just shared with you during the show. The hot one right now seems to be... what was it? Oh, boy. It's not Aloha. Which one was it? Oh, my gosh. I have to go over to my own website and take a look. Well, irregardless, they're all in the... I looked at a spreadsheet. I'm pulling a brain fart. Isn't that funny? Anyway, it's in the... I think it is Aloha. And, of course, check that out at geeknewscentral.com. Okay. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here, but this month, of course, we've introduced Audible. And as you guys know, Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio. You know, I really didn't know if I was going to get into books. Basically, this is not necessarily like a book on tape, but it's essentially a book digitally. It's delivered, I was playing them on my iPod, and it was really cool. It really was. And I didn't know if I was going to get into it, but I'm on book two, and I'm pretty excited about it. They have over 75,000 titles available for you to pick up. And again, it allows you to choose the audio version of your favorite book. You can purchase a book, or for a real savings, you can sign up for an Audible listener program. This is the deal we're going to offer up to you tonight, which gives you book credits each month for a low monthly fee. Customers download their choice, and of course you can access them on your PC, burn them onto a CD, upload to your iPod or other MP3 device. It's quick, easy, fun, and really inexpensive, and it's good for everyone. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. With over 75,000 titles in virtually every genre, you'll find what you're looking for. Get a free audiobook and a 14-day free trial today by signing up at audiblepodcast.com. That's audiblepodcast.com. And don't forget the /geeknews. Go over there, get signed up for that, check it out, get that free 14-day trial. Make sure you read the disclaimer on there and their terms of service so that if you don't get charged for your credit card, if you are not happy with the service after 14 days, so definitely check it out, okay? Thanks for Audible for being a new sponsor here at Geek News Central, which we will be highlighting periodically over the next couple of months from time to time on various shows. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the regular content here. And those of you that are actually on the chat system, I'll be able to respond from time to time, but probably not until the end of the show. Let me go ahead and bounce up here into the first article. Let me close that little tab there. And I had the AC running in this room. I had it cranked. And it was actually cold in here yesterday. But now, it's like the heat must be on in my neighbor's rooms or something, because the heat level in this room is already rising. So we'll see how bad it gets within the next hour or so. Okay, the news out of Google today, of course, is they have basically thrown the gauntlet down and told China to go pack sand. And they're now sending China Google users to the Hong Kong website. So people that are in China, instead of going to google.cn, they're going to google.hk or google.co.hk, one of those two addresses, and uncensored results. And this is, of course, becoming a bit of a controversy in with the Chinese government, obviously, and I'm sure the Chinese Great Firewall will be filtering stuff very quickly. But Google is going to pare their staff down in China to a few salespeople and support. It's going to be a very small group of people in China. So Google is serious. They were absolutely, unequivocally serious about pulling the plug. And I think it's kind of interesting that they have basically have the service based out of Hong Kong. Now, apparently in Hong Kong, even though Hong Kong was reverted to Chinese control, it appears taboo topics are not regulated by the Chinese government. They don't have this big firewall there. Their front page now reads, "Welcome to Google Search in China's new home." And it seems pretty obvious that Google's happy shutting down their Chinese operation. What do you guys think? Think this is going to play out well for Google? I'm going to applaud them, give them a little bit of applause here for doing this, for having the courage to do so. I wish more companies would have the courage to stand up to, guys, remember, it's a communist country still. And, they own a lot of our debt, and, so whatever the connotations that go along with that. But it is not a free and open society. Anyone that firewalls or basically censor stuff that people search for, they're not free. But we'll see how this results with, we'll see if China blocks them completely. That'll be interesting to see how that goes down. All right, there's an article over on CNET talking about the rise of iPhone app making for dummies. Now, we all knew that as more and more iPhone apps were released, that people would get smart and start making applications that would make it easier for dummies like me to build their own iPhone app. And there's two applications out. One's called App Whirl and App Voyage. It's a pair of new companies launching at the Demo Spring conference, and they're trying to make the process of creating any home app and submitting to the App Store take less than 5 minutes. Now, having gone through and submitted an application on the App Store in 5 minutes just to do the application, but these apps are really not capable of creating, stuff that you would probably want to pay $5 for, but they are pretty cool for those who just want to get a Twitter feed in or RSS feed. So I'm going to be checking it out and playing around with it and see what I can come up with for Geek News Central. If any of you listeners are so inclined, we may run a contest. We may run a contest for the creation of a Geek News Central iPhone app. I don't know exactly how to run this because I'm pretty particular about having a app that I own. So maybe what I will do is I will make the bounty on this high enough that those of you that want to take a shot at building an app for Geek News Central will basically go head-to-head with some other individuals, and I'll offer up some cash to do so. So if you feel so inclined to run in a little contest for Geek News Central to create an app for the show, and want a chance at, let's see here, what should I put out as a bounty? Now, if I was going to develop my own app for Geek News Central, I'd have to probably pay a developer at least probably $1,000, I would think. So, let me think. I have to think about this between now and the next show. But those of you that may have done some app development, think about whether or not you want to participate. And if you do, just drop me a line at geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Tell you want to participate in the contest. If I get two or three of you, we'll do a head-to-head thing, and then we'll let the audience vote on which app wins that will get submitted. So I think that'd be a lot of fun, right? A lot of audience participation in creating an iPhone app for Geek News Central. I'm sure we've got a few developers that listen to the show that may be willing to do it, and with the possibility of winning some cash. Maybe we'll have some, a couple of sideline prizes that'll be worthy for those maybe to help pay for some of their time if they don't win based upon the audience participation. But anyway, I'll link up to these two apps that are now available for you to build apps. And also we'll see what develops between now and the next show for people responding on whether or not they want to participate in a contest. So it should be a lot of fun, and maybe you can get a developer that listens to the show to do this. And of course, I may even tweet this out as well and see what we're able to dredge up in the Twitter land as far as participants. All right, over on the New York Times, and I think this is important, the EPA today has decided to streamline drinking water regulations and have tightened standard on four carcinogens. Many of us drink a lot of bottled water. And when I'm home in Hawaii, I drink filtered water. What my wife does is she'll buy a case of water, we'll drink that, keep the bottles. She'll wash and clean the bottles and then refill them with the water from our filter. And usually those get two or three, four cycles before they end up in the trash or they get too yucky to refill again. And so, you know, we have a filter in our house, a carbon-based filter. But I've always been real leery for many, many years before it even become, I guess for a better word, sensational to drink bottled water. I probably have had a filter on any of the water taps that I have had probably, boy, at least since 1984, maybe even earlier than that. Probably I've drank some sort of filtered water since at least that time. And so I've always paid attention to those water reports that come to my home, basically tell me what the levels of stuff is, and I compare that with what our filter takes out, and I've been pretty happy. But, you know, bottled water itself does not have any higher standards than, I'm not saying about Dasani, this is just the one I happen to pick up today, but bottled water does not have any doesn't have any higher standards than what comes out of your tap. So it's not necessarily always better. I think all of us probably deal with the taste more than anything. But the EPA has announced some tighter restrictions on some nasty chemicals that are out there, some industrial type of chemicals. And so hopefully this will help for a little bit increase the safety of the water that you drink out of your tap. How many of you are using filtered water? How many of you don't care and still pull from a just drink city water, drink what's comes out of your well. And for those of you that are lucky enough to have a well, I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on that. geeknews@gmail.com. All right, Amazon is showing off its Kindle for the iPad. And this is over in Gadget Lab on Wired. Very cool stuff. I'm kind of getting excited about April 3rd because I know that's the day my iPad is supposed to be delivered. But you guys also know that I'm a huge Kindle fan. My Kindle goes everywhere where I go. Anytime I sit down in an airplane and open my Kindle, the number one question people ask me, how do you like it? And I just hand it over to them. I said, just read a few pages. And usually after two or three pages, I let them just, you know, take 10 minutes and read it. I bet you I've sold more Kindles from sitting beside people in airplanes that don't have one. So I'm excited to see how the books read in the iPad from Amazon. We'll see what the experience is with that and what kind of battery life I get as well. But, you know, if Amazon and the folks at Apple go head-to-head on books, I think it's going to be good for all of us. Now, you guys know that I've had bad experience with my Kindle reading newspapers. See what kind of great experience the newspaper people can come up with, and hopefully it's a lot better than what it was on the Kindle. It should be a little more interactive, being that there's a touchscreen, but only time will tell. So the app is offering, basically the usual type of Kindle features, and keeps your bookmarks and notes in sync between devices, so you can go from one device to another. You guys know that, right? If you have a Kindle, I think you can authorize up to 5 devices on one account and share books with family members. It's pretty cool. All right, moving on here. In France, a group of French scientists are developing a nuclear reactor that burns up highly radioactive uranium isotopes. You think about that. Whoa, you're building a nuclear reactor that will burn up radioactive waste. Okay, what does that really mean? They estimate that the volume of high-level nuclear waste produced by all of France, 58 reactors over the past 40 years, could fit in one Olympic-sized swimming pool. And if you think about that, that's really not a lot of waste, considering they've been at it for 40 years and 58 different reactors. But still, they are working very hard to come up with a way to destroy this waste by using some of the same technologies that is using to create energy. And they feel that they may be able to reduce atomic waste by up to 99%. So I think this is awesome. We'll have to see what happens with this. Of course, researchers in Texas are doing some more work on this. They're trying to work on a fusion fission reactor to do the same type of cleanup. So, using the same energy to clean up energy is pretty amazing. And I wonder what kind of nasty waste you end up with If it's even worse than the waste you started out with, who knows? But smaller amounts are always better. Article we're on Columbia Business School. It's Ideas at Work, and it's too long of a URL to even share with you. But there's a study that they did that talks about powerful people have an easier or can more easily lie and get away with it than people that are, you know, less powerful. In other words, if you are a CEO of a company or you are a CFO of a company, it's easier for individuals with power within companies and government to lie. It's easier for them, and they get away with it more than people that are not in leadership positions. And what they have found, essentially, is that people in powerful positions are essentially able to lie more effectively. And they are able to suppress nervous habits or other signs that might give the liar away. So-called lie detector tests or polygraphs can't actually determine if people are lying, but they can identify signs of psychological stress that are consistent with lying. So this is kind of interesting. So that just goes to show you, the higher you get in politics, the higher you get in a business, the more chance you have of being a pathological liar and getting away with it. So kind of funny, it really was. So with the way government is these days, it just makes you go, Now, we talked about all kinds of interesting printers, right? We talked about a printer that you could print an object with. In other words, you could maybe use it to print a key or a whistle, like we demonstrated at CES with the maker printer. We've talked about types of printers now that are actually printing electronic circuits. But scientists now are using a 3D printer to create the first printed human blood vein. Yes, you heard me correctly. They're using a printer to be used within medicine, and they're able to print a new part for you. So if you need a new vein, they just print one for you. Kind of interesting. And not a lot of detail on how this is actually done, if this is organic or, yeah, I guess it's organic. It's truly an organic part. So how long will it be before we'll order our, you know, our fancy organic printer and print ourselves a new, you know, a liver, a new kidney, put a little DNA in there. But you just don't know what they may be able to come up with. Scientists is doing some pretty amazing stuff. They're talking about being able to create tissue and stuff. So, wow. Where are we headed is a good question. All right, going back to a little more techie stuff, the BBC. You know, many sites, TechCrunch, Ars Technica, TechDirt, many of the sites I like to link to for articles for this show, New York Times, Gizmodo, all the different variety of websites I go to for data, they do one thing very well. They link to themselves in a big way. It's like anything, if you see four or five links in an article on TechCrunch, you can almost be guaranteed that at least three out of the four are going to go to some internal article that was written by someone in the past. But the BBC has decided that their new strategy is that they have a major goal to increase outbound links from the BBC website in doubling the number of click-throughs to external sites from 10 million to 20 million a month by 2013. So I think this is awesome. And hopefully it'll go to sites that are talking about some of the same stuff that they're talking about with original material and, you know, give a lot of, you know, insight to sites that are out there that are putting up great stuff. So congratulations. You know, and what that's going to do is just, you know, it's a self-feeding thing. You know, they're going to go back and forth. You guys know that quite often I get called by the BBC, especially BBC Asia, to do tech spots. And it's usually they call me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they have a technical topic that they need someone to comment on. And I've ended up on their list. And I'm, you know, basically Todd Cochran, and here are the topics that he's can be used for. And I'm sure when they have a topic and they need someone to talk to, they go in a database and it just pulls a name. So, you know, that's always been beneficial, because whenever I've done that, and it happens maybe a couple times a month. Matter of fact, now it's so commonplace I don't even hardly ever talk about it, but I always get a lot of traffic to Geek News Central because of that, because I can always plug my website, or they plug me, and even I might be only up for 30, 45, maybe at most a minute or two, it's a great boom. It's a great instant hit and great. So, you know, I'm never afraid to send you guys over to the BBC. Because, you know, they do that in retrospect to me by having me on television from time to time. And it's usually basically LinkedIn, obviously LinkedIn via audio. But they have done recently some stuff via Twitter as well. Not Twitter, Skype. So that's been kind of cool. But it's pretty cool on their link policy and what they're going to be doing. Now, right now, of course, every year in the UK, football gets big. For those of you that are here, of course, in the United States, soccer gets big. But the FIFA has demanded that an airline drop an ad that didn't mention FIFA at all. So it appears that this airline called a cool African airline, Kula, has been pretty famous for putting stuff on their airplanes that no one else does. They've got like this one airplane that's got a flying 101 on it, and it's basically got a picture to the captain and a nose cone and the front door and cargo door and etc. But anyway, they had put in a title on this: the unofficial national carrier of the you know what. And on the airplane, they put football stadiums and all kinds of different stuff on there. Well, anyway, the FIFA sent them a letter demanding that Kula Lula pulled the ad, calling it ambush marketing. And apparently, after people got annoyed, FIFA started basically retracted the statement and so forth. Now, I don't know. I don't know enough about the World Cup. But is FIFA the official, you know, organization around the World Cup? Or, you know, someone that's in the UK that is a football fan, please, you know, clue me in on what that's all about. But anyway, I think it's kind of funny that this airline is pushing the boundaries of, you know, I can't say that it's sponsored by the Olympics, but they put on their cool sporting event that takes place in British Columbia. And, you know, some sports-type events to get around the Olympics, their takedown notices that they did for the Winter Olympics. So, anyway, by them. If you happen to travel to Ireland and you happen to stay at a hotel and you hear music in your room, the Irish Collection Society wants hotels to pay performance fees for music played in guest rooms. So just like the ASCAP, BMI, RIAA try to collect performance royalties here in the United States, this Irish Collection Society wants to collect music that's played in your guest room. Oh, man. Show signs of desperation. Signs of desperation. A lot of UK news today for some reason. I guess it was the day everyone wanted to talk about the UK. They're probably more happy talking about the UK than the one thing that the news is talking about here in the United States today, of course, with the healthcare passage. But I think this is a good analogy to what's going on here in the U.S. You know, the RIAA is obviously have taken a lot of people to court over peer-to-peer into for file sharing, and it's going on in the UK too. Now, the some folks over there are making some comparisons to what's going on, and there's this digital economy bill that's ongoing in the UK right now. And this gentleman by the name of Lee Griffin wondered how people would feel if the same rules were applied offline that are being applied in the digital economy bill. And what he essentially says, and I'm not going to go through all these points, I'm going to let you guys check it out through the link in the show notes. He said, could you imagine the police coming in and turfing you out of a building you've legitimately bought and putting it back on the market with you, without you paying a penny simply because you knew it was in a good location and could make some money off the future sale? Now, what I think he's referring to here is a domain name. So in other words, he says you've bought a piece of property and you know in the future it could be worth something, but the police come in and pull you out of the property, take it away from you, and put it back on the market without paying you a penny for it. That's kind of a comparison to maybe having a domain name taken back from you. Or how would you feel if the police were stopping you from accessing your local community center because a single individual organization had threatened the local council in such a way that it is too much for the council to risk the financial cost of allowing it to continue functioning for the community? Imagine arriving at, in other words, they're trying to shut down different types of community websites. And it goes on and on, all these different comparisons. But I think there's some good analogies here to take a look at. And basically people are saying, why are rules online so much different than what they would be offline? It is very interesting to see the comparisons there, the contrast to the real world and the online world and rules. Now, over the weekend, apparently Nestle, of course, that's a company that many of you are familiar with, Nestle has discovered what they call the Streisand effect. Earlier this week, the news went out on how food giant Nestle had massively overreacted to, I guess, well, this is apparently a very disgusting anti-Nestle video put together by Greenpeace and posted on YouTube. The video itself had only received like 1,000 views, but Nestle filed a bogus DMCA copyright claim to take down the video. There would end up being no copyright issue at all, so of course that started driving more traffic to it. But then they went a little further by trying to get the stuff taken down on YouTube. The folks that were following this Greenpeace video went into Nestle's Facebook page and started talking about negative stuff, and then the moderator starting to threaten that he was going to delete comments and so forth. So it got worse, and it turned into this snowball effect that they couldn't do anything right. Big lessons here for all companies sometimes it's just better to ignore this stuff that's out there. But they finally admitted that they were wrong. They apologized and promised that the moderator on their Facebook page would be friendly, but obviously the damage had been done. Again, an issue that very few people would have been even aware of. Obviously, I wasn't. And yet, they went about things entirely the wrong way. Hey, how many of you have quit buying CDs? I haven't bought a CD, I'm going to admit, probably, it's been 20 years. I'm serious. I haven't, well, maybe not that long. But CD prices have always been ridiculous, right? Well, the Universal Music Group could rewrite U.S. music pricing when it tests a new frontline pricing structure, which is designed to get single CDs in stores at $10 or below. Beginning in the second quarter and continuing through most of the year, the company Velocity program will test lower CD prices. Single CDs will have the suggested list price of $10, $9, $8, $7, and $6. To accommodate the lower pricing, the label plans to offer up deluxe version of albums that will sell at higher prices. Are you going to go out and buy an album now for $6 available on CD? I don't know. If it's a single, or does that mean it's an album? They're saying single CDs. See, there's some, this is over on Billboard. There's a little bit of vagueness in the language here. If it means a single song, how you have some artists release extended versions of songs. But if it's an actual single album, at 10, 9, 8, 7, and 6. That would be lower than what YouTube is, I mean, what Apple's selling stuff for. And that could convince some of Stoop, but it almost sounds to me this language in this article is talking about a single extended song. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens here. But apparently, executives at other major labels were nervous about the UMG move, calling around to account for information on the move. Some appeared annoyed by the move, and they wanted to know why Universal needed to get below $10. Well, it's pretty simple. No one's going to buy them if they don't. You know, it's not going to happen. But, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 bucks. 6 bucks, I might go buy an album for 6 bucks. I might be convinced to go out and snap up a CD, especially if it's cheaper on iTunes. Yeah, I could do that. Would you guys? I think I would. That might save the CD industry. Will they ship them to me for 6 bucks? Good question. Of course, how many artists does Universal have these days? All right, big news out of Toshiba. Toshiba is bringing new LCDs this month with Wi-Fi and, of course, LED, but no cell service built into them. But one thing that they are mentioning here is their new edge-lit LEDs are going to be loaded with a Wi-Fi adapter. They're going to have access to NetTV. They're going to have Vudu and DLNA support. Of course, DLNA... DLNA is a protocol that is about as old as they get. There's nothing fancy about DLNA, but it's pretty exciting. They're putting Vudu in the box. You're going to have access to Twitter, Pandora, and more. This is going to be in their 40, 46, and 55-inch editions. Again, these are LCDs. Priced at $13.99 to $24.99, respectively. So it's just going to be a matter of time, folks, before all these TVs are going to have Wi-Fi built in and basically a computer in your television set. All right, early reports show that Internet Explorer is not faring well in the post-ballot screen days overseas. This is over on Engadget. Appears that most PC users that are being prompted by the ballot are going very well to go with other browsers, and the IE market share has dropped 2.5% since last month's implementation of the ballot, 1.3% in Italy, actually 2.5% in France, 1.3% in Italy, and 1% in Britain. Now, that's not a lot, but still, they've got a 62% lead in the browser wars in the UK, but a couple percentage drops in just a month or so is big. So we'll see what continues to develop there. Google's 1 gigabits per second broadband offering is still making a lot of municipalities go crazy across the United States. And again, my municipality in Honolulu, they are like sleeping. I don't even think they know this thing's going on. A bunch of clueless twits. But anyway, there's been some pretty cool videos put out. And if you live in Duluth, yes, Duluth, Minnesota, you'll definitely want to check out this video that they put together, and you're going to get to see some people getting smacked around with some fish, and I hope they ate the fish afterwards. But little chilly. They went swimming when it was cold just to raise awareness to get the 1 gigabit per second broadband into Duluth. Now, an article over on Geek News Central, it was written by Andrew, talking about that animals are affected by HDTV. Now, not just any type of an animal, actually octopus, cuttlefish, and squid paid much more attention to a screen that had pictures of things like food or threats to measure the response to the thing. The researchers found that when shown images of crabs and other octopus on standard TV, the octopus didn't bother responding. However, when shown HDTV images, the octopus did respond, which was a first in this type of research. So I guess octopus have very good eyesight and are pretty smart. So it's clear that SD just didn't cut it, but HD did. So just like we can see all the wrinkles of actors on HD, the octopus probably thought that was the real deal. Good article over on TechCrunch, and this was actually an excerpt from a write-up on the New York Times. And, of course, with the National Broadband Plan being released last week and the PDF made available, you guys could all check it out. The op-ed by Harvard Law Professor Yochai Benkler was pretty to the point. He said that the reason that this broadband plan is simply sounds great but is destined to fail is because there's nowhere near the amount of competition in the market today. He says, in fact, under the new plan, some 85% of homes covered would have no choice when it comes to a provider. So while it's great that just about everyone will potentially have broadband access in 2020, most won't be able to afford it because, again, no choice. And there was some other articles I saw that was linked to talking about comparisons in per country based upon the number of competitors and talking about how people were getting super high-speed internet at probably half of what we're all paying because there was 3 to 5 competitors in each market. Now, this guy was pretty poignant against Time Warner, because Time Warner is actually very pleased that it can set higher prices due to lack of competition. And, you know, we all know Comcast made about $1 billion in profit each quarter over the past year because they have had no other competition as well. And we understand it's expensive to lay down fiber, but there's, you know, the reason these prices continue to go up and speeds are slow to roll out is because there's no one competing in the marketplace. And they're not asking competitors not to help pay for the build-out. They feel that there should be a shared, you know, they should be paying in the share to build the stuff out. But there's just really no competition out there for the majority of us, including me. You know, there's really no competition in my town. Now, tonight's show, for those of you on Ustream, is being streamed by a Clear WiMAX connection. So yeah, I'm on a 4G connection tonight, and it's being pressed by I've got a little Clear modem up in the window here in the hotel, connected to a Wi-Fi device. And if you can find the raw voice Wi-Fi signal where I'm staying, just, you know, text me, I'll get you free access. But show's being streamed tonight on WiMAX, unlike EVDO that I've done in the past. So, and it is pretty fast. I'm getting got 6 megs down and 1.5 megs up on the connection here where I'm at. Those of you that have websites, you may be interested in self-serve advertising. Over on Robin Good's website at masternewmedia.org, there's a great guide to the best do-it-management platforms. I have that link up for you in the show notes. Over on NielsenWire at blog.nielsen.com, reporting that Americans are using TV and internet together 35% more than a year ago. That means more of you are sitting in front of the Bloob Tube with your laptops on your lap, surfing on the internet at the same time a TV show is going on. I know that I do that sometimes. I do work, and then I look up at the TV for a few minutes, but apparently a lot more of you are doing this. In December of 2009, percentage of persons using TV/internet simultaneously was at 59%, compared to December of 2008, 57.5%. So, you know, just a 2.7% increase. But what is remarkable here, time spent simultaneously using TV/internet per person in hours and minutes, 2009 is 3 hours and 30 minutes, and compared to December 2008, 2 hours and 36 minutes. And then they go into a whole bunch of different talking about a week in the life of those of us that are watching TV, watching time-shifted TV. And here's a kind of an amazing number. Children, K-2 to 11, watch an hour and 33 minutes a week of time-shifted TV. 12 to 17, hour and 15. Age 18 to 24, hour 28. 25 to 34, 2 hours and 58 minutes, 35 to 49, 244, and then it dwindles down from there, down to about 2 hours for those that are senior citizens or watching time-shifted television. So the question is here, are you guys watching? I know when I'm watching TV now, it's all time-shifted. And the internet usage was much higher than TV usage. It says, and this is what's weird here, They say the average 35 to 49-year-old watched 35 hours of traditional TV, non-time shifted. I just can't believe that. It seems really high to me. And in this day and age, I don't watch any real live TV. I don't. Even watch the news time shifted because I don't like the commercials. Couple articles I'm going to just gloss over tonight on peer-to-peer. I'll have them linked up in the show notes. I'm getting a little sick and tired about, you know, all the different stuff going on with peer-to-peer. I'll leave that there. I've got a good Week in Tech article by Ars Technica that I'm going to link up to you to check out. A variety of good articles. Some I covered in previous shows, some stuff that you may have seen as well. But we're getting close to the iPad launch, and Apple is telling iPad developers, on your mark, get ready and submit. Apple is telling developers that they have just a week to prepare iPad apps and get them submitted for review if they want to be in the App Store on April 3rd. So if you are a developer, you must build their apps on Beta 5 of the iPhone 3.2 SDK and submit them by 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on March 27th. Whoa, what's the date on this article? Okay, I guess we're... What is the date today? I'm looking at the calendar. You got 5 days, folks. I was freaking out there for a second. But anyway... If you're an iPad developer, you're an app developer, you got 5 days to get your stuff in. If you're an AMD fan, a retailer has leaked the details on AMD's upcoming 12-core chip. This is an article on computerworld.com. ProVantage is taking orders for the Opteron X12 6100 series chips that run at clock speeds between 1.7 and 2.4 gigs. The chips have 12 cores with 16 or 18 megs of cache and draw between 65 and 105 watts of power, priced between $293 and $1491, depending on clock speed, cache, size, and power. So new AMD chips forthcoming. AMD has not responded because this has not been a publicly released or announced chipset pricing, at least. Hey, Seattle? Those of you who live in Seattle, if you're on Wi-Fi, beware. Seattle is topping the list of the riskiest cities for web surfing. High incidence of cybercrime, frequent online banking, and an abundance of Wi-Fi hotspots all earn Seattle the number one spot in Semantic's ranking of the most dangerous cities to surf. Okay, I'm going to go through the top 10 here. Seattle, Boston, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Raleigh, North Carolina, Atlanta, Minneapolis, Denver, Austin, Portland. Wow. They say this is the number one place where people are getting juked of their information, data being sniffed out. Wow, some amazing stuff here. A lot of honeypots have been set up by people. I noticed I wasn't doing any banking or anything that was critical on any Wi-Fi accounts when I was in Austin because I was worried about, you know, basically these honey buckets of people trying to collect data. So, again, Seattle, Boston, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Raleigh, North Carolina, Atlanta, Minneapolis, Denver, Austin, and Portland. So, if you're surfing the net there on Wi-Fi, beware. AT&T is a little upset at Verizon for jumping the gun on 4G. Now, Verizon has been talking a lot of smack about its 4G LTE network. Talking about this, getting this deployment ready. It's being built out big. You know, like that's how it is going to be, you know, this super network. on the eve, and this is from digitaltrends.com, the CTIA Wireless Conference is getting ready to kick off, and AT&T is basically reminding people that because of chipset availability, 4G technology is very immature at this point, and that will not be ready until prime time, until 2012, because of chipsets and phones that are being made available. You're not going to be able to get a decent handset, decent or a decent quality, in other words, one that has got the higher speed chipset until 2012. So while Verizon is, you know, jumping up and down and saying, hey, we got LTE 4G, it's not ready. Now, I will have to say, where I'm getting access to WiMAX, 4G and Clear and Sprint, it's been smoking. It really has. It's been good. It's getting better. Honolulu has a little bit to grow yet, but It's here now in many, in some cities. At least the ones I've been traveling in recently have had access. So pretty exciting stuff. All right, last article of the night before I get into email comments. Virgin Galactic spaceship makes its first test flight. A suborbital spaceship owned by the aspiring space tourism operator Virgin Atlantic was lifted into the skies over California's Mojave Desert today for its first debut test flight. We know that, of course, the carrier aircraft has flown before, but this is the first time it piggybacked along. Of course, they didn't drop it. They just did a maiden test flight. And so, the VSS Enterprise remained attached to the aircraft through the 2-hour and 54-minute flight. And test flights are scheduled through 2011 with commercial operations to begin in 2012. So get your checkbooks out now for your flight on the suborbital Virgin Enterprise. All right, let me go ahead and get into... there's no voicemail tonight, so no one called in and chewed me out or left comments. So if you guys have comments on tonight's show, you can always do that at area code 619-342-7365. If you want to email me a comment, you can do so at geeknews@gmail.com. I got an email from Bree. She said, "Hey, Todd, here's the correct link to the FCC broadband test," and she gives it to me. And I don't want to share her results because she asked me not to. But Bree, your broadband's smoking. Is. I'm impressed by your broadband speed. Congratulations. I'm very envious. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. The article I linked you to the broadband speed, but there must have been an issue there. I've got an email from Henry. He said, "Hey, Todd, on show 560, you seem to be unsure what a Hobson choice was. Hobson choice, it's an artificially limited choice where all the choices are bad." Oh, wow. That's good, Henry. Thanks so much. And Henry's out of Michigan. Thanks for your follow-up. Got an email from Bo on Symbian. He says, "Yes, it is a smartphone. Nokia is probably the biggest vendor, and they sell most of its devices outside the United States, i.e. Europe and Asia. Sony Ericsson, also rather big, is running on Symbian devices. Soon we'll have a new generation of Symbian or Symbian 3. He gives me a link to Symbian 3, and it talks about a touchscreen solution on old Symbian is not very good compared to Android and iPhone, but Nokia has a lot of faithful customers that buy their phones like the N97. You got N97 listed in there twice, Bo. I do today use a Nokia N900, and it's kind of a Linux kind of computer. It also works as a phone. It is broken for the moment, so I'm using an older Nokia phone, E90 and an N73, one for pleasure, one for work. I'm normally using my Nokia N900 and Linux GPotter program, but because there's a hardware fault on it, I use the old E90 for that. And thanks for Bo for his information on that. Got an email from Frank. He says, "Hey, Todd, the 2010 U.S. Census form has 10 questions. None of them have to do with broadband. Some people confuse the census with the American Community Survey that's been sent to approximately 3 million households every year since 2005 to meet congressional mandates for up-to-date information to use in considering legislation." I got one of those. I did get the 2000. I did get this American Community Survey. I already did fill out, and it was long. Dude, that one took me forever. I think it was like an hour or something like that. But my wife informs me my census form is at home, and I'll fill that out when I get home. Hey, why don't you give a shout out to Jeffrey's longtime listener of the show, and Jeffrey talks about some issues he's had with taxes in the past, and he was basically in response to my discussion about the tax man cometh and taketh the cash away on the last show, but. Yeah, Jeffrey, I understand you're having a tough time right now, and I'm not sure what we could do for you, but keep faith, my friend, and hopefully this, whatever's changed here in this healthcare bill will have an effect and help you out. They obviously cannot deny you coverage now once the president signs this for a pre-existing condition, so you're one individual that this will probably help out a little bit, and be well, my friend, and take care. I really hope that you have a better recovery over time. And Jeffrey also says that, hey, Todd, I have no problems multitasking on my BlackBerry. Your listener needs to upgrade or reinstall or bat pull to fix his problem. And he gives me a link to a website sent via his BlackBerry. And Ron, buddy of mine in Honolulu, says, hey, Todd, there is a macaroni grill in Honolulu. News to me, Ron. Thanks for the info on that. And I got an email from Adam on Symbian. He said, hey, Todd, my name is Adam from New Zealand, but living in Malaysia, my wife is Malaysian, Chinese background. So like you, I also have a cross-cultural marriage. We have one son, 17-month-old, who is now walking and very active. I bet you he is. 17-month-old, he's on the go. He said, I've been listening to your show, part of the Ohana, for about a year and a bit. I got to know your show and others when I bought my Nokia E71 smartphone in late 2008. I never heard of you and only found your show in the Nokia podcast directory. It uses the Symbian OS nearly all Nokia higher-end phones. I write email from my phone as my wife is using her laptop. This is the first smartphone I ever owned, as I only had cheap phones before this. Here in Malaysia, it is texting/SMS culture. I understand that, same as Japan. The mobile phone networks have monthly plans, which they push, but the majority, including myself, use prepaid plans, pay-as-you-go, which is the way to go. I had never... Why is that? Is it cheaper? I never sent a text SMS in my life before living here, but now I've already sent a few thousand of them in the last 5 years. Now an expert, smiley face. Other podcasts I listen to are Tech 5 by John C. Dvorak and his other show, Cranky Geeks. Also some news podcasts and good Bible teaching podcasts by Andrew Womack and also Ravi Zacharias. I put the URL of the audio show I like directly into my podcast program, which came with the Nokia E71, then listen to them all on this. Has good battery life. Enjoy your show. Sorry, don't share your passion for space shuttle stuff, but love the tech content. Appreciate your views and experiences you share. Keep it going. Kind regards, Adam and Am. Thank you for your email. Definitely appreciate it. And thanks for being part of the Ohana and a longtime subscriber of the show. Again, Jeff, Adam, Ron, Frank, Bo, Henry and Bree, thanks for your emails tonight. Look forward to everyone's comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com, or go and, of course, call the voicemail hotline at area code 619-342-7365. And as I said in my last show, I did have a nice steak dinner, and it was at a place that I haven't tried before. It was a little bit more than I expected to pay, because I normally eat, at local non-chain establishments. So it was my fault for not paying attention to my intuition. But had a great meal when I got here into Texas, and enjoying myself. I have a very productive week here. Lots of stuff going on. And again, I don't leave to go back to Honolulu until a week from Wednesday. So two more shows here in Texas, and probably not going to be doing any meetups. Have a very full schedule. I might do something over the weekend. Haven't decided exactly what I want to do yet. So a couple of the guys that I'm meeting with want to do a couple of things. I'm thinking about doing that with them. But anyway, I'll keep you advised if I plan on doing something in the Dallas or Houston area, possibly over the weekend. But everyone, thanks for hanging out with me. And I'll be back with you Thursday night. If you want to watch the show live, I'll be starting about 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and going for about an hour and 15 minutes. And it should be good for both of you, all of you on the East Coast and those of you on the West Coast. And looking forward to getting back to Honolulu, but going to enjoy my time here in Texas while it lasts. And until next time, everyone take care. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Everyone take care, and I'll hang out here for those of you on Ustream. Aloha.